Yes, restart episode 27. Welcome to the 27th restart. Restart means a new beginning without a virus. This time, for the first time, you will truly understand the real path of religion in restart without the virus. And you will understand where Cyrus, Zoroaster, Mazdak, Jesus, Moses, and Muhammad fit on this periodic table, and why thousands of people throughout history have hurled vile curses at the entire clergy of all religions, a truth you will only reach in restart after 1,000 more years, the most shocking program in the last 700 years of Iranian history. Last week, dear listeners, in our rush, we talked about a poem by Rumi. Today, however, the depth of the toilet we have created in this program gets deeper, meaning a few meters are added. And in this program, in this episode, we will further clarify the reason why we curse. Before this restart, you couldn't figure out if your brother-in-law is hell-bound or heaven-bound, because people asked me to explain that hell-bound issue. You couldn't figure out if your brother-in-law is hell-bound, if your brother-in-law's daughter is hell-bound or heaven-bound. This girl you want to marry, is she heaven-bound, hell-bound? You didn't know this. But now that restart is broadcast, it's very simple. Why? Because Rumi says it very simply, the truth set friends against each other so that the envy in their hearts might be revealed. It's very simple. Look, this restart is speaking the words of 1,000 great figures in world history, from Plato and Socrates all the way to Hafez and Rumi. Come, anyone who has a problem with this program deep down in their heart and curses Rumi, you see who you're cursing when you listen to the program. Cursing me doesn't matter at all. If you curse Hosseini, for instance, whatever. But there's a point where you curse Rumi, you curse the ideas of the program, you curse restart, meaning you have a problem with restart. Then, according to the opinion of these 1,000 great people throughout history, and according to the perfect Huhuman, you are definitely hellbound. Meaning, show these videos, this program, to your female cousin. Let her listen. If she says nothing, or if she says, yeah, this is so good, or this is good, bye-bye, I'm starting to get it, this has no boundary, no ulterior motive, Rumi says so, but if she starts cursing Rumi, pull the flush. There is no way to save this poor soul. She is definitely hellbound. Her seed cannot be a good seed. This is the law of the restart program. And if she smiles, this one has a spark connected somewhere. Because this program doesn't belong to Hosseini for you to get angry about. This program belongs to Rumi. This program is being presented to you from the perfect Huhuman, from Jesus, Moses, Muhammad ibn Abdullah, from whomever you can think of. Just as all Christians know nothing about Jesus, and Jesus belongs to Sufism, all Muslims know nothing about Muhammad, all Jews know nothing about Moses, and all Zoroastrians know nothing about Zoroaster. They know nothing, they know nothing. Everything I have said in this program was with evidence. If on the day of the 30th program I announce that all those who are interpreting Rumi and Hafez and so on are dishonorable, I will bring proof, meaning I haven't said a single word of my own for you to scream and shout about. I myself have always tried my best at the beginning of the program. I've cursed, and curses come. I haven't said anything of my own. If the people of Iran are dying of hunger and have no money and are miserable, and then I, Hosseini, know that billions of dollars of treasure are sitting in the right-hand corner, and I don't tell you, and your daughter dies, and your son dies, and you go to hell and get your ass kicked, and then you find out that I knew the treasure was hidden back here, and the money was here, and I didn't tell you, what would you say to me? You'd say, you're so dishonorable. We're dying of hunger, hardship, and all that, and you knew where the treasure was and didn't say. Our question for those who have memorized Rumi's Masnavi and the works of Hafez is this. Did you or did you not know these two or three couplets that Hosseini mentioned about? So in every age, a standing guardian exists, that at all times there is a perfect human. The treasure is here. Why didn't you mention these poems? If you didn't know these verses and still interpreted Rumi, Hafez, and Sa'di, and if you knew and didn't say? That's the question. So everything I'm saying is correct. Let's get to the poem, because today I want to do two very important things, And if we manage to get through the perfect human this week, next week I'll probably want to pull one or two of the bastards out from the materials. I want to pull out a forbidden thing by the name of Attar of Nishapur and explain it. Let our Telegram viewer count reach 250,000. It's at 180,000 now. Let the first one reach it, and the second one too. Let each of these restarts get to 250,000 viewers on Telegram. Someone had sent a message saying, "Sir, you talk about the being unity. We are all listening. We have 7 to 8, 9 million dervishes alone in Iran." No, everyone is listening. I said, yes, that's not important. I agree. It's that there are being unity adherents. There are kids from the Circle Mysticism group, a lot of them. The point is that whoever is being unity is with us. The Sufis from your topic, who are Sunni, Christian, Jewish, they are all with us. But I don't care about the rest. I know the view counts can be much higher than this. And I know that maybe over 2 million are listening to the program. It wants 1.5 million more. These are all 15 people, 10 people, 6 people. That's not important. Dude, I said a simple number. It's at 189,000 now. Once the first view count reaches 250,000, let me tell you, I will do this. And if it reaches 500,000, the two on Telegram, if they reach 500,000, I will make the program twice a week. If each program gets 1 million viewers on Telegram, we will go on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays until these 120 programs are finished. In Rumi's poem, we reach the point where the cross-eyed gradually became fewer. When they passed 100, they became one on that side. Behind every curtain, a people have their station, row after row, the Imam. And he also refers to the perfect human himself, meaning each of the perfect men and those who are around them. Meaning, the light of God is a direct reference, and I am opening up the topic bit by bit. Remember that. I'm not saying it all now because there will be a time when I must talk about Cyrus, about others, to lay out this periodic table for you. Okay, let's get to it. He says, "The fire that is right for iron or gold is at other times the ruin of water and green apples." He's saying, fire is great for iron because it's iron. They put it in the fire, it becomes soft, like wax, whatever, and they hit it on the head with a sledgehammer and it takes shape. But this same fire, for things that are water-based, what happens if you pour water on it? It jumps away, it evaporates. Fire is not good for water, fire is not good for an apple. Throw it in, it's not good, it's lost. The apple and water have a hidden rawness. Unlike iron, they need a gentle heat. He says the apple and water that you see, they have a rawness, they're raw, and for that reason, they don't get cooked on the fire. It's wrong. They get destroyed if you throw them in. In a quarter of an hour, half an hour. Unlike iron, for which the heat is a gentle glow. But this fire is a gentle glow for the iron. Now where is he going with this? That iron is the hardy dervish. Under the sledgehammer and fire, it is red and happy. The word dervish here is an important word that Hafez, Rumi, Saadi all used a lot. The word dervish doesn't mean poor. All these Masnavi scholars present it as poor. A dervish is one of the steps on Atta's ladder. This is exactly what I want to explain later. He says the iron is under the sledgehammer and all that. The appearance, he says, it is the chamberlain of fire without an intermediary. It enters the heart of the fire without a connection. Without a veil are water and the children of water. Their ripeness is not found through fire, nor its address. An intermediary like a pot or a pan is needed, just as leggings are needed for the leg on its path. He says for water to come into it. He says, without a veil are water and the children of water. This, pay attention that religions say God created everything from water. He says, you see, all this water, all these children of water, what does that mean? Meaning all the plants that are created with water and come out these, he says, if you put them on the fire, they are all destroyed. Ripeness doesn't come into it. We can't say it was raw and now it's cooked. It's difficult. Throw an apple into the middle of a fire. We can't say it was raw and now it's cooked. It's difficult. We can't say it. He says, for these raw things to become cooked, for them to reach that mystical stage, they need a pot. Here he wants to say the pot is the perfect human. He says the perfect human is like a pot into which you must pour water, any mystical water, anything in the world you pour in, this is the pot. In other words, he says there is something in religions they call the throne of God. He says the throne of God is a place in religions which is the highest point. and the entire universe, everything God has created, is a subset of this throne. He says this throne is the pot, and for cooking, you need a pot or a pan as an intermediary, so that just as leggings are needed for the leg on its path, meaning he says to heat water, you must definitely put a pan, a pot on the fire. The fire must hit that, and that must heat it. The fire, the light that we call it, or whatever we want to call it, must hit the perfect human to be distributed. There is no one else. Everyone is a subset of this one, the flame with the flames. And he can understand God, meaning God can shine upon him. He cannot shine upon the others. Meaning, he says, if God were to shine upon Hosseini, who is an apple, he'd be mush. If he shines on you, you're mush. Whoever he shines upon is mush, except the perfect human. So the heart of the world is he, for the body receives skill from this heart through an intermediary. So the heart of the world is he, for the body. If there is no heart, what does the body know of that dialogue? If the heart does not seek, what does the body know of that search? Now he makes a comparison with a country. He says, if there is no heart, the heart is not the organ, the heart is different. He says, if there is no heart, what conversation can the body have? The body doesn't even exist. It's ridiculous. Ridiculous, if there is no heart. So the object of the ray's gaze is that iron. Thus the object of God's gaze is the heart, not the body. He perfectly explained the sentence I said above. Meaning, he said God cannot shine upon other people, cannot shine upon the galaxy, cannot shine upon the moon, upon the sun, upon the Big Bang. He must absolutely shine upon this person. Why? Because the object of the ray's gaze, meaning that subject, meaning God, is that iron. It must shine on the iron. Thus, the object of God's gaze is the heart, not the body. My dear, he is explaining the perfect human. So this speech requires an example and explanation. But I fear lest the common delusion should slip. He's asking, Mr. Hosseini, do you want me to explain this verse? I say, please do. He says, no, you are too stupid to understand this. Hosseini, do you know why I don't give more explanation and examples? No, Mr. Rumi. He says, but I fear lest the common delusion should slip. He's saying, if I speak, they will kill me, Hosseini. They will shut down the radio. They will pull restart down. Who? First, your own family will hurl vile curses at you. If the secrets were to be fully revealed, everything would go up in the air. Then, to shut the mouths of all the Masnavi interpreters with the next verse, this one has four or five important points in it that I should... Okay. No. Let's see. I want four verses because I want to read a different verse. Let me put these last two verses back in their place. Okay? Allow me a moment. I'm sorry. For God's sake. Why? It's very important. Let me say this here and then come back and explain these last two verses of Rumi. See? So now Rumi said that I can't explain further. I can't explain this verse above that God is the body. I can't explain this verse that, let me tell you, thus the object of the ray's gaze is that iron. Thus the object of God's gaze is the heart, not the body. I can't explain this. Why? Because the people's delusion will be shattered. People will get confused. If we say Sheikh Baha'i is 1,000 times Edison, we haven't lied. And if we say he is truly 100 times Newton, we haven't lied at all. And if we say he is 500 times Albert Einstein, we definitely have not lied. Do you know why? Because Albert Einstein in mathematics was a very shitty creature in history. Each of them was an expert in one thing. For you to understand who Sheikh Baha'i is, I'll give a small explanation, because later in the Shah School Plus program we want to talk about Sheikh Baha'i or the Masters and so on. The Masters means that only those gentlemen who are in Iran now, you say, sir, what's his deal? He was from the 10th and 11th centuries Islamic calendar. The sciences of philosophy, he is the god of philosophy. Sheikh Baha'i is the god of philosophy. All the Shia and Sunni mullahs who don't even come close to his level, not even a drop. He says, this human is the god of philosophy. Sheikh Baha'i is the god of logic. Dear listener, now see from here, I want to read two verses. There are six important points in these next 7, 8, 10 verses that I'm going to read for you, so you can see why. You will surely come to me in the virtual world and say, Hosseini, for your mother's sake, let these dishonorable people go, curse their mothers and fathers and move on. Why? Pay attention to the point. This human is the god of philosophy, the god of logic, the god of astronomy, the god of mathematics. He is a god in the book of politics. In hadith, he is just. Sheikh Baha'i cleansed all the false hadiths. 99.99% of the hadiths that these idiots are putting out, that they attribute to Alameh Majlisi and the mystic of the stable and so on, he cleared them all away. Now, why was he like this? Because he himself was inside the system. All the intelligence guys would kiss his feet, from top to bottom. The head of the Expediency Council at the time was in love with him, for example. Whenever he wanted to smack someone in the mouth, he'd say, "Sheikh Baha'i, you go." He would go and, he would pull tricks out of his sleeve. He is the god of these things. He's a god in politics, a god in hadith, a god in math, a god in ethics, a god in astronomy, a god in jurisprudence, a god in engineering, a god in art, and a god in physics, too. I just gave you a small glimpse. We haven't even gotten to astrology yet. For his services in astrology, UNESCO registered his name in 2019. This guy is a god in everything. I'm going to give you a dose of Sheikh Baha'i's law that will flush everyone down the toilet again. It's really bad. In advance, because some people might think that, look, I am slowly discrediting people one by one so that you understand that when we get to them one by one, it's not just one or two. Everyone, down to the last one, is giving this same curse. And he starts with Arabic, "Oh, Sheikh Baha'i." But he says five or six important things that contain a great secret. First, he starts in Arabic, so that if the Arabs say, "We didn't understand," he can say, "Shut up, you understood." He says, "Qad sarafta al-umra fi qilin wa qal." I'll just say one line, "Ya nadimi qum faqad dhaq al-majal." My Arabic isn't that great either. I might not remember the exact pronunciation. Let me see. He says, "Qad sarafta," meaning you have spent. Now I'll say whatever I understand. "Umruka fi qilin wa qalin." He says, "You spent this ridiculous life of yours in chatter." "Ya nadimi qum," beautiful one, "arise, beautiful one, get up." "Faqad daqa al-majalu," "daqa al-majalu" means time is short. "A divine gift has come. Restart is broadcasting for you. You don't have time." "Qum" means arise. "Faqad daqa al-majalu" means shortness of time. "Al-majalu" means time. He just reads this. He says, "My dear, you with chatter. No, not that. Truly you have wasted your life in the science of customs." Now imagine what a scholar of this magnitude is saying. قُلْ لِشَيْخِ قَلْبَكَ مِنْهُ نَفُورٌ لَا تَخَفِ اللَّهُ تَوَّابَ غَفُورٌ. He says to this sheikh, to this mullah, to this rabbi, to this priest, tell him to empty his filthy heart of hatred. The same thing I said at the beginning of the program. Having a grudge against this program. لَا تَخَفْ, don't be afraid. Allah تَوَّابَ غَفُورٌ. God forgives. Allah means the perfect human forgives. He doesn't say Allah, he doesn't say Huwa. Now I'll start the Persian part. Formal knowledge is all chatter and talk. No quality is gained from it, nor any state of ecstasy. He's saying, all these books I've read, all this philosophy, logic, ethics, astronomy, mysticism, and I'm the god of it, mind you, nothing. I'm the god of it. He says, these sciences I've studied are all chatter and talk, just empty words. I gained no quality from it. No state, no ecstatic passion. It constantly depresses the spirit. Rumi does not believe this statement. He says, these things only increased my depression. They gave me nothing. Rumi confirms this too. He says, when mystics mention people's names, it means there's a very important point in it, something very respectable and deep about that. Then in Persian he says, meaning, for the one who lacks the love of the beloved, bring a saddle and a bridle for him. Mr. Sorush, Mr. Safi Golpayagani, Mr. Rabbi, Mr. Priest, Sheikh Baha'i is saying it. He says if your love is not for that beloved and you don't have that beautiful one, it means a saddle, bring a saddle and a bridle for him. Meaning he is an absolute donkey, a memorizer of the Quran, an absolute donkey. Memorizes the Torah, an absolute donkey. Sheikh Baha'i is saying it. Listeners, if someone says that of your life, only 7 days remain, and that becomes certain. In this 1 week, with which science will you occupy yourself, O complete human? He's saying, if they told you right now, you have 1 week to figure things out before you die and go to hell, what are you going to do in 1 week, other than the path of restart? Other than the fact that if a human is in a well, he must still know God. If it's all about books, how is such a thing possible? He says, now you have 1 week. What are you going to do? In this 1 week, with which from where are you going to know yourself? Science, will you occupy yourself, O complete human? Philosophy or grammar or medicine or astronomy, geometry or geohumancy or ill-omened numbers? Which one are you going to read? If you want to read philosophy, you have to read about the world. It's like religion. He says, philosophy or grammar, what do you want to do in this 1 week? You want to study grammar, you want to study medicine, you want to study astronomy, geometry or geohumancy or ill-omened numbers. Then here he says, knowledge is nothing but the knowledge of loving. Listener, Sheikh Baha'i is saying it. My pretty one, you and your mommy who sit in sessions with Makarem Shirazi and then post things on Facebook, my pretty one, I'm not the one saying it, Sheikh Baha'i is. He says, knowledge is nothing but the knowledge of loving. The rest is the dressing of the wretched devil. So we go back to the verse above. He says, philosophy, grammar, medicine, astronomy, geometry, geohumancy, numbers, the book of Quran, Torah, gospel, whatever. Knowledge is nothing but the knowledge of loving. Besides the love of the perfect human, no knowledge exists. The rest is the dressing, meaning the clothes, of the wretched devil, meaning all the mullahs, all the clerics of all religions. Sheikh Baha'i calls them the dressing of the wretched devil. The word wretched means miserable, senseless, filthy, oppressive, dishonorable in literature, meaning scum, meaning the bottom of filth, meaning the very end, meaning miserable, meaning abject, meaning humiliated, meaning ill-fated. Knowledge is nothing but the knowledge of loving. The rest is the dressing of the wretched devil. The science of jurisprudence, the science of exegesis and hadith are from the dressing of the vile devil. You idiot, you write a book now and 35 years later it's changed. You idiot. You want to explain one episode of Restart to your grandma and it gets 500 errors, it gets changed in the telling, and you're sitting there reading hadith from 900 years ago for yourself? Al-Sadiq said, Al-Baqir said, and then you're just spinning around like a little goat? Sheikh Baha'i is the god of jurisprudence, exegesis, and hadith. He says, the science of jurisprudence, the science of exegesis, and hadith are from the dressing of the vile devil, you dishonorable. Meaning, if you are sitting there reading hadith without the permission of a perfect human, for which a hadith to even exist, 99%, just flush it down. There is no such thing as hadith. Al-Sadiq said, who did Sadiq say it to? Why did he say it? Now let's assume the perfect human is in Italy, for example. The KGB intelligence organization goes to the perfect human and says, nah, sir, perfect human, did you release this restart program? He says, no human, it's this dishonorable Hosseini. That doesn't become a document. Or the intelligence organization, dressing of the vile devil. Meaning, look, the very last, he says Iblis means the epitome of dishonor. Iblis is the ultimate devil, not just a devil. And if he had said it's the dressing of the accursed or vile devil, it would have been resolved. Iblis means all the dishonorable acts of the world, meaning adultery, murder, plunder. If you want to multiply Iblis, shove ISIS into the body of Timur, hit it into Hitler, as you yourself say, multiply it by 55 billion filthy people, that becomes the vile Iblis. So in two verses he brought two words, and with four words he shoved it in. The wretchedness of Iblis is spiritual. The vileness and dishonor are physical, external. Knowledge is nothing but the knowledge of loving. The rest is the dressing of the wretched devil. The science of jurisprudence, the science of exegesis, and hadith are from the dressing of the vile devil. He says, we worked so hard and studied. I read so human books. I am a scholar now, you filth. I'm not an ordinary scholar. He says, whoever is not afflicted by the moon-faced one, whoever is not in love with the perfect human, not in love with that moon-faced one, wash his name from the tablet of humanity, the heart that is empty of the love of idols. I apologize, ladies, gentlemen, sorry, 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 sorry. One dies and the next one comes, that one goes with the one behind it, all of them. Well, if we don't say these things now, when should we say them? I apologize in advance because from here on out it's just vile curses. I don't know what to say anymore. Meaning he is describing all the Sunni and Shia mullahs. He says, whoever is not afflicted by that beautiful one, wash his name from the tablet of humanity. He goes one step further. The heart that is empty of the love of idols. If a heart is empty of the perfect human, is its enemy. Call it a menstrual blood clot, all smeared. My God, where has Rumi ever used such a vile curse? Clot, the clot means Mr. Sarush either understands or he is this clot. Call it a menstrual blood clot, all smeared. Mr. Makarem is either acting with the permission of the perfect human or this clot is a clot. Dear listener ladies, please explain this to your children later. The heart that is empty of the love of idols, consider it a menstrual blood clot smeared in mud. Mr. Rabbi, without the permission of the perfect human, you are this clot. Sheikh Baha'i says it. A chest empty of the love of the rose-cheeked ones is an old sack full of bones. If a chest is empty of love for a beloved, it's not a chest, it's an old trunk. Until when this wailing and endless love have some shame before God and the Mustafa. The word Mustafa here does not refer to Muhammad Mustafa. Mustafa means the chosen one, meaning the perfect man. He says, from God and the Mustafa. This Mustafa means chosen. It comes from Istafa, meaning selected, meaning chosen, meaning the perfect human. He says, you're sitting there for me. You go to church and cry. Until when this wailing and endless tears, you sit there for me, cry for Hossein for me, you go for me, cry for such and such for me, have some shame before God and the perfect human. Until when this talk of the monster am turned towards the meaning and speak not of the form. The monster is the final mystical stage in the worlds of Attar, which is himself. When I start on Attar, we'll see that the word monster that you use is either a monster or one of the seven stages of the great human of history, Attar, of whom Rumi says Attar traveled the seven cities of love. Meaning, whoever curses Rumi, I have to take the whip to Attar. I have to curse him. Why? Because Rumi says nice things? If I give my back to my wife and children for you, remember that. Attar traveled the seven cities of love. He comes along and says something about someone. That's why he used to throw plaster from above, hit the Mongols on the head with mud, the people of the world who didn't understand like mules. Attar's whole job had become to go sit up there as an old human, meaning there was no university where you could say, sir, think for yourself, or sir, have this Attar come and teach this. Oh, what an arduous task. To set up his teaching chair with hardship, sit down, eat some bread and stew, and go up there and hit every Mongol who passed by on the head, for which he was ultimately killed. Until when this wailing and endless love, you idiot, in the mosque. Do you know why he says this? A very important point must. He says, until when this wailing and endless tears have some shame before him himself. Do you know why? Because crying is forbidden in Sufism. Anyone who cries, you should shove something down their throat. Why? Voluntary crying, Sufism says, is poison. It is forbidden. Forbidden. Sir, forbidden. If it's out of your control, your mother died, it's out of your control, a little involuntary tear is okay, that's good. You suddenly walk in, you see a lion, you get scared, that's very good. Now if you act like you're in a movie, then bye-bye, that's not good, it's poison. Crying is forbidden. He says, you're sitting there crying, beating your chest and crying, what are you crying for? What is he saying? I mean, did Imam Hussein come to your house? Are you his dependent? Does he cry like a humanji kid who sits? And what should he listen to? He should really sit. Ayat means sign. Look, Ayatollah means sign of God. The entire universe is divided into two types of signs, generative signs and scripted signs. Generative signs means the perfect human himself is generative, meaning these are not abrogated, meaning Moses is the same as Jesus, Jesus is Zoroaster. I'm explaining the perfect men. For example, the Sufis, Cyrus is a Sufi, Zechariah is the same as Jesus. These are, they are called signs. O Ayatollah, the name of Allah, the humanifestation of God, the humanifestation of Allah, the light of truth. These are generative, meaning they exist. Generative. When we write hadith and news, it gets abrogated, scripted. What does that mean? For you to understand, go read your Quran, pretty one. It says, until a certain date, pray with your back to the Qibla, towards Jerusalem. All the verses and orders the Messenger of Allah and the Noble One had given for that direction, overnight it turned, they went towards the Qibla, the Kaaba. This shows that the Kaaba existed before they would perform pilgrimage around the Kaaba. You might ask why the Messenger of Allah himself didn't perform the Hajj in the middle of that. His next Qibla closed it off. So whatever verse came before that, throw it in the trash can. Anyone who, after Moses said the camel is forbidden, ate it anyway is a fool. Because what did the next cause, the next perfect human say? Scripted is full of contradictions. It means this, meaning the government is in charge. Now that I will soon explain religion, in one program I'll informatively explain the production of religion, so that if you want to produce a religion, diamond with me, we'll quickly put out 500 religions, we'll all do it together. All these contradictions. Dude, you yourselves say it about the Messenger of Allah. You say Muhammad ibn Abdullah came and they said, let's build the Mosque of Dissent. He said, very good. We have one mosque here and one mosque there in the middle of the road. You yourselves say it. You say Gabriel descended and said, where are we going, Muhammad? He said, they've built a mosque. Sir, I want to put a mullah in it. Later, for now they've built it, but the plan is to put a mullah in it. Then this mullah doesn't even understand what forbidding wrong is. And then he'll produce Basiji and send them into the streets. Then the poor Basijis who didn't know, humani of whom are now slowly coming back with this program, they go out and beat up girls, then see the pretty girls back there. The Messenger of Allah said you were supposed to build a mosque. Then this mosque reproduces, it keeps giving birth, then everywhere becomes a mosque. They asked why? They said because the Christians have it too, the church. Look, every house, a whole, a church. If you multiply the value of their lands, it's billions and billions of dollars. To counter the perfect human, the remaining billions and billions of dollars is the land of the churches. The remaining billions and billions of dollars is the land of the mosques. A mosque, you have 50,000 mosques. Your Messenger of Allah himself said in the middle of the road, it's very good to build a mosque. Gabriel came and said, O Muhammad, do you know why they are building this mosque? He said, no. He said, the plan is to produce Basijis. He said, you're kidding. Now these poor people have built it. Tell God to accept the one dinar they spent. I tell everyone, who the hell do they think they are to build another mosque? Gabriel said, yes, sir. Let me go tell God. He went to God and came back and said, God has commanded that this mosque, this dishonorable, the next mosque, be destroyed. Listener, dissent, the mosque of dissent, dissent. Now, dissent isn't important, its destruction is what's important. Now, whether it was dirar or zirar is not important at all. Listen to the point. Now, someone says, Mr. Hosseini, they said dirar, it was darur. Let it go, you idiot, just listen. They gave a calm human to destroy the next mosque. Muhammad himself didn't know that dishonorable people would come who would make forbidding wrong into something accepted. He didn't know that governments would forcibly create mullahs, put them in every mosque, and all the women and men would go like donkeys and give money. He didn't know that if Gabriel hadn't come midway to say, go screw the mother of this mosque, because it would later reproduce. Nothing. The mosque had been built, they destroyed it, but we have no mosques. Now, sir, will you give us money so we can flee? No, Mr. Hosseini, I gave money for a mosque. Then they go and say one thing, and then say he hasn't listened to restart. No, he has listened, they will make his life hell. The heart that is free from the love of that beloved of stone. Dear Mom, can you go to the living room for a minute? My mother, my sister, dad, go to the living room. My buddy, dude, my mom has taken grandma back there. I can't not explain this. I can't not explain it again and have her take her back there. Take them back there. This is really bad. Listener, he says, the heart that is free from the love of that beloved. Meaning someone who cursed restart, not the one who was indifferent, someone who insulted the perfect human, someone who cursed Rumi, picked them up with tongs, someone who, besides the path of restart, was following another religion, who didn't discover love in himself and didn't find that beautiful one, the heart that is free from the love of that beloved, considerate, devil's ass-wiping stone. He's saying all the religious clergy of all religions, Sheikh Baha'i is saying it. Sheikh Baha'i is 100 times, 500 times, 1,000 times other scholars. Listen up, kid. Hey, kids, baldy kid. Instead of cursing, shut up and listen. Don't speak so that the spirit may speak for you. Idiot. Listen, you dishonorable. Listen. He says, the heart that is free from the love of that beloved, considerate, devil's ass-wiping stone. Devil's ass-wiping stone. When you go to the toilet, you do your business. Pss, pss, pss. At the end, you wash yourself. But there's something, how do I explain this? He's saying these mullahs are like that stuff around your butt that you're washing, but it's still there. You have to stick your finger in there properly. It's filth. How am I supposed to explain this? What can I say? Meaning he's saying this Mr. Makarem is devil's ass-wiping stone. Meaning that place where you rub the clod of dirt, that's what this person's place is if the love of that perfect human isn't in him. Even if he has God and the whole Masnavi, he is devil's ass-wiping stone. Sheikh Baha'i, I don't want to open it up more and have them... Now at the end, he'll just turn off the radio. It's a really bad spot. Look, he said the menstrual blood clot. He said this. He said wretched. He said Iblis. He said vile. Now the worst part is that he made it physical and spiritual. Meaning he both shat on the body of this Safi Gol Payagani and he shat on his spirit. They say, screw his spirit. He did exactly that. He says devil's ass-wiping stone. Meaning he shoved the spiritual devil himself into him. He didn't say Iblis here, meaning the dishonorable devil himself. He didn't use the word Iblis. Iblis means the lord of all devils. Devil means the dishonorable devil himself. These sciences and these imaginations and forms at my... Tomorrow you'll call and say, Hosseini, can I please ask you, my mom called, can you read Rumi and not Sheikh Baha'i anymore? No, mom. All of this. The Lord of Love lingers in the ruins because the pain, I am setting one thing up, even the grocer. Oh my God, oh Zara, he gives a 50-50. The heart that is free from the love of that beloved, consider it devil's ass-wiping stone. These sciences and these imaginations and forms are devil's excrement upon that stone. If you set your heart on any knowledge other than the knowledge of love, meaning you fall in love with being a Christian, fall in love with being a Jew, fall in love with being a Zoroastrian, fall in love with being a Buddhist, become a Shia Muslim, a Sunni Muslim, whoever else you give your heart to. If you set your heart on any knowledge other than the knowledge of love, if you set your heart on any knowledge other than the knowledge of love, you are giving away devil's ass wiping stone. This clarifies your duty, you who are listening to the program. You are not outside one of three states. Either you are internally tangent, externally tangent, or in the middle. If you are internally tangent, my pretty one, you love me, watch this program. It's impossible for it not to make you feel good. I told you a secret the other day. The love that came down from your eyes for the love of that perfect human is for him to find you. Let it go. Don't be sad. Sit and cry. Enjoy it. Sit and enjoy yourself. It's impossible for him not to show you. This is internal tangency. External tangency means being dishonorable like this Safi Gol Payagani, like Mr. Sharudi Araki, the same head of the judiciary, a dishonorable human who did everything Saddam did in this country. That dishonorable Sharudi, the head of the judiciary, whom I once explained in Good Night Iran that you are either a successor or a prophet sitting up there, or you are wretched down here. This wretched means exactly this, meaning dishonorable, the dishonorable Sharudi Araki, dishonorable. There is something in his sphere that he will soon understand that this human has no way of salvation. And he says, if you two deep down are happy with them or think they are right, you two are the stone. Look, he's cursing your mother and father too, meaning he's cursing me too. He says, you are giving away devil's ass-wiping stone. Be ashamed that you carry, O deceitful one, devil's ass-wiping stone in your arms. Wash the tablet of the heart from devil's excrement. O teacher, teach a lesson of love as well. How long with the wisdom of the Greeks? Know the wisdom of the faithful as well. When faith comes up, it means anyone who knows the perfect human. How long with this baseless jurisprudence and theology? Will you empty your brain, O meddlesome fool? Your life was spent on debating grammar and morphology. Read a letter or two from the principles of love as well. Illuminate your heart with humanifest lights. How long will you be Avicenna's bowl licker? Mr. Sorosh, if you understand this verse, you'll go there in the morning. Illuminate your heart with humanifest lights. How long will you be Avicenna's bowl licker? The master of the world, the king of this world and faith, called the believer's leftover food a cure, O sad one, the leftovers of Aristotle and the leftovers of Avicenna. Did that humanifest prophet call them a cure? The curses about wife and kids that I hurled at Aristotle were confirmed by Sheikh Baha'i. He said, Haj Hosseini is right. The leftovers of Aristotelis, meaning Aristotle. Aristotelis is his name, his last name. He shoved his full name in there nicely so that this filthy, dishonorable human who said the earth, everything revolves around us, this dishonorable human who is philosophy, meaning the gentlemen who are talking about philosophy now, they are all this human's shit eaters, because he was the god of philosophy. And that's why I said with your Plato, look, he said a very, very nonsensical thing, it's okay. But in the end, he was saved by Abu Sa'id Abul Khair, meaning it's okay, like Mullah Mohsen Faiz Kashani. Mullah Mohsen Faiz Kashani also, you saw last week, I was wrong, I made a mistake. I accepted his repentance then. At the beginning, you also saw that he says, Allah, in this very poem, he says he forgives. He's explaining it beautifully. The leftovers of Aristotle and the leftovers of Avicenna, did that humanifest prophet call them a cure? Go and tear your own chest 100 times, cleanse your heart of these pollutions. I don't have more than 4 minutes. The ayat topic is left for 6 weeks. It's okay. Next week from Attar of Punjab and 6 minutes. I love you, my pretty one. By God, I myself have no intention. I am stupider than all of you and whatever you want to think. I love you and this program is dangerous. I wish it had never started. But when restart begins, it will definitely finish, listener. And it will finish well, and it will finish badly, and it will finish dangerously. Goodbye after 7 years.